Man, T, we're in one of the nicest new places in Jacksonville. I'm super stoked about this opportunity
you
today.
You cannot beat this venue. I mean, look at the view.
It's absolutely
beautiful
perfect.
Afternoon.
And I would tell you, when this place was originally developed, I was here for the opening. And what our guest today has done in Jacksonville, but out here, I think is going to be an incredible opportunity for our city and for people that want to enjoy an opportunity to play golf. It's pretty incredible.
This space, this community has been elevated.
Absolutely. And one of my dear friends, can't wait to have him on the show and just to hear what he has to say. I can't promise you anything today because we already talked about his filter and how that we may have to dial the filter up just a little bit.
These are unfiltered stories. I mean,
I'm telling you, we may have to dial the filter up just a tad.
We don't want to get canceled, right?
But I mean, we're seriously one of the most fun guys to be around. Somebody that rivals me in their love for Jacksonville and wants to see our city grow. An incredible golfer, one of the best amateur golfers in Jacksonville. I found out today, salutatorian of Wolfson High School.
What?
I mean, don't judge the book by the cover.
Right.
CEO of Corner Lot, my dear friend Andy Allen, man. Great to have you on the show, bro.
You too, man. Thanks, guys.
I asked him to please wear the shades the entire time that he's on.
This will be
show.
A first.
I'm not wearing the shades.
No.
Unless y'all really want
no,
it
no,
to.
No, it's good, but I wanted to give you a cheers.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Great job out here, man. Glenn Carmen,
thank you.
Looks amazing, brother.
Appreciate it. I'm pretty proud of it. Proud of a lot of things, but in particular this one.
You should be.
Can I jump right into that? I mean, I'm going to go back and ask you your story. But for those that remember what Glenn Curran was, what was it that you just said, hold on a second, I know what this can be? It's like you're the guy with the vision. What did you see? What was the diamond in the rough?
It's a good question. The phone call that I got was from Paul Hart.
Okay.
And he called me up and he said, hey, are you interested in the rest of the land that Mr. Hodges and his trust owns? And I said, absolutely. Those are some gold mine lots. So really, the call was to ask us as land developers if we were interested in developing the rest of the 130 plus lots out here.
Right.
We lost out on that. But through that process, I knew Glenn Curran. I've played a couple times out here in JWB's charity event, but the location, the fact of it's got a great routing, it's got these 15 plus acre ponds, it just makes it an experience on the golf course that you can't have anywhere else.
Right.
And you know, I'll take you a step back. Golf's been good to me,
yeah.
Right? I mean, golf is my first love, my passion. I started playing when I was in diapers.
Literally, did you start?
Literally. I mean, swinging the golf club. I wasn't like out keeping score, obviously.
How did that happen?
My grandfather.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandfather. I was born in Orlando.
Okay.
So I went out to Dubstred Municipal Course out there with my grandfather when he would play and hit balls around. But, you know, fast forward to where got me into school at JU. And the game on a personal level has meant so much to me. In my adult life, it's meant so much to me on a professional setting as well. You know, when you have kids and you're married and you're raising a family, your time that you get with your guy friends or your time that you get to culture and nurture new relationships, a lot of that has been for me on the golf course.
Yeah.
and golf trips. And so I had the privilege to go to places like Sage Valley, Rock Creek, Pelican, places where I come back and I was like, man, you know, that 48 hours that I was away from home, I wanted to make it worth my while for time not with the family. And it was the best thing that's ever happened as far as just like not having surface relationships, but relationships that mattered. And so the value of that, I looked at this golf course and I was like, this is the place where we can actually create that. We can have golf cottages. We can have world-class facilities for practice. And it was also at the time when, you know, the whole live in PGA thing was going down.
Right.
And I got introduced to my now good friend, but at the time, Cam Smith.
Yeah.
And really, I
hear he's out on the course today.
He is out on the course today. Yeah, he had a visa issue. So his 4-day trip to Australia took 3 weeks. So he didn't. Yeah, it's like crazy. It was one of those things where, okay, I'm a golfer. It's been very important to me. I feel like I'm indebted to the game. How can I create an environment, a culture, an ecosystem, a destination for other people to have here in the city, but also to take Jacksonville golf mm-hmm. from just good.
Yeah.
You know, we have good golf. Nothing against any other country club or Ponte Vedra or Temequan.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
These are great. This complements them, but this is where you have a whole family setting, but you also have that opportunity to bring in clients, friends, family, and really give them a world-class experience, which we're proud about.
And I would tell you, it's kind of right place, right time.
Yeah.
And I know timing's everything in lots of politics,
yeah.
real estate, all of the business. I mean, timing's everything. But there is so much demand to like the amount of wealth that has moved to Jacksonville mm-hmm. since COVID.
Right.
And the demand for club access, great golf, mm-hmm. and these clubs that are already established, the waiting list is
There's
insane.
No room.
Yeah. And so I really, what are you seeing there? Is it
yeah.
what you thought it would be?
It, you know, I play golf. I'm not in the business of golf until now,
yeah.
but post pandemic, golf blew up
yeah.
because people needed a place to go outside, have some social distancing, get some exercise. And so the golf industry has taken off 2021, astronomical, exponential. And you've seen it. Like you said, people started flocking to Jacksonville. People were moving out to Ponte Vedra, try to get a tee time, try to go play in 2022, 2023. Yeah. I mean, busy guys like us, Friday at 3 o'clock, you want to peel out early. Good luck. You go there yeah. and you're like, I can't even yeah. get off at my home club.
Yeah.
Wait lists, initiation fees skyrocketed, all for the better. It's supply right. and demand. But now we wanted to create a place where there are no tee times. So 250 golf members, you come out, you play, caddy experience. And Cam was instrumental on the practice facilities. That mm-hmm. was kind of his baby. And Jim Furyk, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
he's become a dear friend. Him
Jacksonville great. Yeah.
Jacksonville great. He's been a member here since the genesis of it. And had some great memories, and one of his favorite courses, obviously, he played a lot here with his dad. And I got to give it to him, man. He just like knocked it out of the park when it comes to design. Because as a good golfer, it's hard for me to put the mentality of, you know, an average Joe that comes out and shoots 90 to 100 from the middle tees.
Right.
And so when you're designing a golf course and you want to make it from the back tees very demanding and challenging for guys like Cam, but then you move up a couple sets of tees and you want to make it very playable and forgiving for an
for average. A guy like Dan.
For a guy like me.
I knew that's where I wanted to
that's
kill
where I was the, headed.
I was killing
that's
the punchline before you yeah. say it.
And exactly for yeah. you. In having now played out here and having our grand opening, like he absolutely nailed it. And I know that it was cool to see him even a little bit nervous about the grand
right,
opening.
Right.
You know, this is his first course that he redesigned. Mm. It's his home track. It's his hometown. And, you know, I talked to him a couple times and I'm like, Jim, you freaking nailed this thing. And I think that the reception of this has been, you know, better than we
yeah.
even thought it ever would be.
So what's in the background? This is 16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And I've played it several times, but I've never seen it look this good, bro.
Yeah.
Number 9 coming down.
9's coming back.
Oh, yep. My God. It looks amazing.
Get this. So 16, this is 16, 17, 18. We call it the Foxton. Every really good golf course has a 3, typically the finishing hole. So this
right.
is the Foxton. And Jim put a tee on 16 over here. It's 500 yards. Oops. And into the wind, it's a par 4. I mean, from the back tees, that's a bear.
Yeah.
And then a par 3.
Have you parred it?
I have parred it.
Yeah, that's what
I've hit. I mean, I've even hit up to a 4-iron into it on a par 4.
Yeah.
And then 18 is just a beautiful finish goal.
Yeah.
And you see this newly redesigned clubhouse with these exterior seating, covered seating areas. And it's great because you could sit back here and as people come up, you can also heckle them.
Yeah.
Or say hello.
Of course.
Yeah, you can do your gorgeous
so
stuff.
I just kind of get a gauge on Andy's ability. I was out in Rock Creek, man, probably a couple years ago. I can't even remember, but we were on a par 4 and it was like a pretty steep decline down to the hole. And he goes, hey, I'm going to put this on the green. I'm driving the green and it's going to land up here and it's going to roll right down to the hole. And he gets up there and smashes it, lands at the top of the green from the drive and rolls right by the hole. Like he almost had a hole in one. on well, a par four.
My golf game after like four high noons goes to the next level. I get a little cocky, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes you
start calling
works.
Your shots.
Yeah. That was awesome. I've never seen anything like
so
that.
So speaking of some of those trips, mm-hmm. you mentioned you've gone to exclusive courses yeah. for these golf weekends. What did you bring back from those? Obviously, there's inspiration from mm-hmm. some of those great courses. Is that something that you saw for, you know, Glenn Kernan when you were out, you kind yeah. of imagining what this could be?
Yeah, absolutely. T, you go and you stay in these cottages on site, mm-hmm. right? So you're there, you've got your friends with you, you know, you're having nightcaps, you're mm-hmm. around smoking a cigar around the fire, you're going out on the lit par three course or the lit practice facility. And really, like, as silly as it sounds, like, those moments, once again, we're all people that are taking time away from our family, so we need to make it count. And so you're making memories, one thing. This is the only golf course in Northeast Florida that has cottages.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Because we're a golf mecca. We're a golf empire. We are the head where the PGA Tour headquarters is. We had the World Golf Hall of Fame. We lost that. But that's one of them, the cottages. So it's destination. So people that have multiple memberships or whatnot. I mean, mm-hmm. there's some serial country club membership guys that have a dozen, but we want to make sure that experience, you don't leave campus and you come in and you have a world-class chef. Right. So Chef Sean, he was over at, Orsay. He was at Congre. He's got an asada grill. It is as good as it gets as far as a restaurant here, yeah. which I think you guys are eating at here tonight. So I'm excited to
Looking
see forward
to
what
it.
You think. It'll be amazing. So it's one of those things where, hey, it was a balance between great country club for people inside the gates, but also a destination where you could come world-class golf, world-class cuisine, world-class culture. And most importantly, it's the people that work here. They really make it.
I tell you, this chef is sick.
Yeah.
Andy had a big prospect in town, invited several leaders in the city to come explain to this prospect why they should pick Jacksonville. And it was a perfect setting on a perfect night. And this chef was amazing. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
It was the best sea bass I've ever had. And it was like, that's what we need to be able to sell Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
It's like icing
yeah.
on the cake,
yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
How do you market something like this? Because you mentioned destination, and mm-hmm. I'm sure you're starting to see people, you know, come
sure.
from all over the place. What does that look like when you're trying to bring people in?
Yeah. You know, a lot of it's word of mouth. Golfers talk.
Yeah.
Experience is unlike any other. We're very complimentary to a course like Pablo. Pablo's a great golf course. It's very what I would call old Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there. I caddied there when I played golf at JU. Went back, you know, 20 years later, and golf course has been redone and whatnot, but still kind of a similar vibe. And that's for some, not for all. This is a pretty cool hang. The men's grill gets a little rowdy, which is for some, not all, but we have a really good time. Dice game that the boys start playing. It's called Pig. They took it from Old Memorial, and now I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I'm just such a degenerate. But we also
Well, can you explain the rules to me, please?
Yeah. Barely. But we also, you know, 250
But
golf.
the family deal too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're doing all of it.
It's yeah.
Something for everyone.
So it's
something for everyone.
Yeah.
We redid the tennis courts. We added pickleball. We redid the gym. The gym looks like you're walking into an Equinox. There's a cold plunge. There are saunas. There's all the massage therapies you can think of, compression. So we really, really nodded also to this next generation. We're all thinking about health and wellness and longevity.
Right. I heard you were training Tebow out here. How's
that
going?
I wasn't training, but he worked out next to me a couple times. And man, I tried to show up or show out. And I almost passed out one time. I asked the trainer, I asked Dustin, I'm like, did I look bad? He's like, you look bad, man. That guy's he's another level though.
Yeah.
Tebow's a big man.
So this does have a unique feel. You gave me a tour before we started
yeah.
filming here, and it feels spa-like.
Yeah.
I mean, it just feels upscale.
It feels like a boutique hotel.
It does.
Right? You walk in, very welcoming, a little more swanky, sexy. And what I've been telling people, T, is that I'm a developer, right? And I've seen Jacksonville now for 30-plus years.
Right.
And at the end of the day, Jacksonville good is great, sort of. Jacksonville good right now is not good enough in my mind. We want to become, and we are striving to become, a world-class city.
That's right.
So this is a microcosm of where Jacksonville's headed.
Mm.
And these little nods to where we're headed, that, okay, maybe this is an area where affluent can experience. Great. That's a market too. Affordable housing is also another market, but there's markets. So people, some people are like, oh, great, I'll never be able to go play Glen Cairn. I'm like, hey, hit me up. You know what? I want to show this place to not just the people that are members, but this is a place where Jacksonville is headed.
Yeah,
I love that.
And so I think it's important for people to experience, whether it's on a small level, big level, whether it's on the golf course, whether it's at a restaurant. But when they walk in here, it feels different. It doesn't feel like your old Jacksonville Country Club. And that was the goal. So I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we always want to hear our guest stories. Okay. And so that's really what this whole thing is about. People reading about Andy Allen, but they don't know who Andy Allen is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said you grew up in Orlando. Were you born in Orlando?
Yeah, I was born in Orlando, 1981, January 13th. Actually, the hospital, which is now the Arnold Palmer Hospital, so that was kind of cool.
Right.
The game of golf's been so great to me, but I lived in Orlando until I was 5 years old.
Okay.
My dad got a job with AT&T. AT&T is headquartered up in Basking Ridge, New Jersey. So we transferred up to New Jersey, Somerset County. And I spent from kindergarten to the middle of seventh grade in New Jersey. Crazy thing is, my dad, that's what brought us up there, was his job. But a year and a half up there, he left AT&T and got into the ministry and became a preacher.
Holy cow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for the Christian Missionary Alliance non-denominational church. So I grew up as a preacher's kid, which is pretty
fitting. That is totally,
that tracks.
Totally tracks, because I was preacher's kid too. And yeah. You know what they say about the preacher's kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and up there, is it Bon Jovi? Yeah. Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
And my dad was so strict. He's kind of a judgmental Christian, but he changed his ways.
I've never been around those guys before. Yeah.
I couldn't. So the song where it goes, whoa, living on a prayer, take my hand, we'll make it, I promise. I couldn't say swear.
You couldn't say swear?
Yes.
Okay. So this is the other thing I had to say. Nobody knows in Jacksonville, this dude can freestyle.
I'm not doing it.
Come on.
No. I
mean, so my son actually can freestyle.
Yeah.
And he interned with Andy at Corner Lot for 2 years. He was in part of the internship program, and then he got a chance to manage the interns this last year.
He's
and
awesome.
He can freestyle. And he's like, man, I'm just waiting for the moment where I can challenge Andy to a freestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Not with Christian. No. You know, I like to get a couple drinks in me.
There you go. Loosen up a little bit.
Loosen up a little bit.
So if we get you through this one and maybe one more.
We should be doing it while we're chipping.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, so you can't swear.
Can't swear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So tell us the rest. Tell us the rest.
Yeah. So I was up there. I moved on my 13th birthday to Jacksonville.
Okay.
At the time, I didn't know this, but, you know, there was some marital issues going on, but we followed mom down here. Mom wanted to get closer to her sister and to her mom. Mom was in Winter Park. Her sister was in Tallahassee. She chose Jacksonville to get pretty close back to family. We came down, and I was the point guard on my basketball team up in Jersey. Came down here, went out for the basketball team, and didn't even make first cut. I'm like, this is next level. And what was funny, you know who's on that team? Udonis Haslam.
Wow.
So when we moved here, I moved in the back of Bay Meadows Apartments into a place called Los Prados. And I'd go up to the court and I would throw inbound passes to Udonis and practice with him. He wouldn't know who I am right now, but it was just like crazy. I'm like, this guy dunks and he's 14.
Right.
It was nuts. So I really started playing golf.
Yeah. Double down on that.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I grew up playing basketball, soccer, golf, and baseball, but I played second base. I was a pretty good second baseman. And then I quit playing baseball for golf. I didn't grow though. So I was the smallest kid in seventh grade at DuPont. Eighth grade at DuPont, smallest freshman at Wolfson, smallest sophomore at Wolfson. So I was 5'1" through my sophomore year of high school. Pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
So when did you hit the
that
junior year?
That junior year, the summer before I hit puberty. I grew roughly 9.5 inches. Those were some painful shin splints and whatnot, but it was good because then the girls finally started
to notice. They could see you.
Yeah, they could see me. You know, I wasn't. And I was always on the front row till that year. I was in the second row for pictures. And I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Huge.
So did you play golf every year?
I did.
Okay.
I played golf. Really, seventh grade, I really started. I mean, I played in competition up in Jersey. I was the best junior up there for 10 and 11 years old. Came here, and played on Bay Meadows Golf Course. So they'd let me pick the range, work the carts for free golf. I go swim in the lakes like an idiot for golf balls and sell them for money. But I played golf, literally, Daniel, I bet I played golf for 10 years. I probably played 320 days a year.
Wow.
Every single day. I mean, I lived at the golf course. And it's been so good to me, man.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so supportive and instrumental with my friends and their kids. Like, look, you don't have to be good. Just go learn how to play, because you get to understand and see who people really are out there. Are they keeping up with the player? Are they fun to be around? Are they flubbing their lie up? Are they cheating? All these things. I mean, it relates to real life, and to see who these people are. And
it's a good point.
And so, yeah, it's been wonderful. And I ended up getting a full ride to go to JU for golf and grades. I already had my dorm in Beatty Towers at UF. I was headed to UF. I was going to go and try and walk on. Mm-hmm. But Coach Combs saw me in a tournament, offered me a full ride. And then I was the first recipient, actually, for the Jagus scholarship, of all things.
Okay.
And the TPC scholarship.
Wow, which was nice. Cool. That's pretty cool.
And I'm glad that I stayed in town, because I love Jacksonville for the golf. And I loved my friends, but I didn't know the city. You're in high school.
Yeah.
You don't get out. You're in a bubble. And I really fell in love with Jacksonville probably between 20 and 22, probably because I can drink and go to the beach bars. But at the same time, it was one of those where I was like, oh, okay, it's not just Bay Meadows or a golf course.
Right. Yeah.
There's restaurants and cool and meeting new people coming into town for school. And I look back and I'm really thankful that it ended up that way.
And JU's a special place.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, I'm sure you felt that way, but we were there recently talking to President Koss, having a discussion, a conversation with him for the podcast. And it's a really cool, you know, university, small private university, but mm-hmm. done some amazing things over
there.
He's
been so good for Jacksonville, man.
He's great.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Great, great business mind.
So how did you meet your beautiful bride, Kristen? What, tell us that story.
So, I'll tell the PG version, but we had mutual friends.
It's unfiltered, bro. PG-13.
So I'll tell the story. So we had mutual friends.
Is she going to be okay with us?
She'll be fine.
All right.
So she was in Zeta, which is a sorority, and I had friends that were all fraternity brothers. I wasn't any time because of golf. And I'd go out to the beach bars with her friends. And I saw a picture of her in their apartment. And I'm like, who's this? And they're like, oh, that's Kristen Knudsen. But she goes home to West Palm Beach. She's a homebody. She goes and sees her family every weekend. Now, mind you, she was 19.
Right.
We're a little bit older. And finally, I met her. She came out to TGI Fridays right there in Southside Boulevard. And I think we had a Long Island iced tea. I mean, that's so gross to think about. But I met her through a friend, saw her. I told all of her friends that I went to give her a hug goodbye, and she turned her cheek, gave me a little peck, which is still up for debate, but I still think it happened. And she kind of played a little hard to get there for the next couple of months. She was kind of dating a guy. This is a true story. I don't mind telling this on the air.
Right,
so
let's
I knew I was taking a girl out on a date. I already forgot her name. She was going on a date with this guy she was seeing. I knew they were headed to the Atlantic/Ocean Club to go dance afterwards. So I walk in with my date. She's there with her date. And I see this guy walking through the actual dance floor. And I'm like, I'm going to time this perfectly. He's walking through the dance floor. His date is coming right behind him. Kristen, my date, walks in between them. I let Kristen go by. I reach over, this is balls to the wall, grab a handful, dead serious. We might have to edit this. And she looked over at me, but she kind of smiled, and I was like, she likes me.
Yeah. Ballsy, man.
That's what developers do.
Yeah.
They're ballsy.
Yeah. You put it out there.
Put it out there. Yeah. It was a yes or no. That guy would have killed me, too. He was like your size, TJ. It would have been a bad ending, but.
And the rest is beautiful history, though.
Oh, I mean, come on, it's let's estimate.
Did you have a stop grabbing?
Let's estimate six months. So Chris and I started dating. We had a very quick beginning. And then 6 months later, Kristen, she got pregnant. We went out to dinner and she told me, And I literally said, hey, listen, you know, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Let's give this a shout. And we've been together for 20 years this past August.
It's so awesome, man. She's great, she's too, man. Thing. She yeah, is
she's,
great.
She's awesome.
Really?
Best thing that's happened to me.
That's awesome, bro. Tell what about your kids? What's going on with them?
We grew up with Ava.
Yeah.
You know, she's Ava's at Clemson. She's a sophomore.
Yeah.
She went to bowls, had a great time going through. What a wonderful school we have.
Yeah.
We go and visit her as many home games as we can. My son's 15. He just made the varsity team for Bowles' golf team. He quit baseball too. So dad loves that. His name is Payne. I named him after my golf idol, cool. Payne Stewart.
I see him out here. Every time I'm out here to see you, he's out here practicing.
You know, people are like, man, your son is so great. He's so nice. And I'm like, he shows well. We're in those years right now, but he's turned the corner now. So he and I are our relationship's a lot better than it was 6 months ago. Yeah. I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, it's up and down for us too. But
parenting's the hardest thing I've ever done, most rewarding. Obviously, that's really cliche. Yeah. And as you've experienced, it goes by so fast.
Flies by, man.
We've got adults now. Daniel and I, our kids grew up together.
We're empty nest. We call it free burden.
Yeah.
You're empty nest.
But it's an empty nest, man. And I love it. We're having a great time.
How's kids doing?
I told Christian, bro, you had your first semester at FSU. Make sure he gets through first semester at FSU. And he's doing great. He's doing great. He's hitting it hard. But they're having a great time. We're super excited about FSU football this year. And so
it's good. Can't say the same about the Gators, but we'll move on.
So we've got a couple minutes left before we have an opportunity to maybe walk out to the chipping green.
Sure.
Jacksonville. Like, whenever I get a text from him, he ends his text with Jacks to the max.
Yeah.
And, I love that.
He doesn't want anybody. It's not like he's doing that so somebody picks it up and puts it on the newspaper. But literally so dialed in on how we make Jacksonville great, and it says Jacks to the max on all the texts. And so you know this guy he's putting it all out there for Jacksonville. Right. It's a proverbial Kristen walking across the dance floor, and he's going after it. And tell me what you think, man. What are you excited about? I'm excited about it. Tell me about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you saying earlier that I'm near the level of passion and love for the city of Jacksonville as you, because I take that fully and appreciate that. And I do. I love the city.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great things going on, as you know. I think the first thing we do from a business perspective when we look at anything, is this good for Jacksonville? That's literally what we ask ourselves. And we are very in tune with 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You guys can relate. A lot of your friends that were either going to trade school, going to school, going to the military, like, they wanted to get out of here.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuck with me. I'm like, man, why are people leaving here? And I get it. Back then, there wasn't as much opportunity. They went to Charlotte. They went to Atlanta, Tampa, or whatnot. And I'm like, we need to be on the podium, but first on the podium for our kids that are like, I want to get back to Jacksonville, and I want to help grow this city to reach its full optimization and its potential. And, you know, I think a lot about it, obviously, and I do. I like to rock and not talk about it, as you know. And, you know, part of that's our internship program. I love giving back to these kids, but not just to teach them development, but to teach them about the city, because I know they didn't learn, just like none of us did in high school, what the city has to offer. So we bring in speakers and field trips and you name it. But I want them to not have an excuse to come back to Jacksonville. I want them to be like, okay, start a career, start my own entrepreneurial, you know, idea, get a wonderful job, raise a family, like all the things that when you're young, you kind of think about, but it's not really at the forefront of your frontal lobe. And when you get older, you look back. So through the maturation of business and as me, just as a person, as a husband, as a father, and as a businessman, I look at Jacksonville as the greatest place to raise a family.
Yeah.
And if you want a common denominator among anybody, if they have children, it's your children.
Yeah.
And what can we give to them or give them as far as opportunity? And so we've taken upon ourselves to really look at not this shiny object out in the future that I feel like Jacksonville has tried to just like, oh, what's this shiny object that we can become? I feel like we are trying now to look at who are we as a city? Like, what's our DNA? Our DNA is we are a military town.
Yeah.
Our DNA is that we have a wonderful beach and natural resources all throughout. Our DNA has become, we are a medical tourism destination. We have the best care in hospitals in all the world. Think about it. Mayo and MD, at the level of their practice and care they have here, nowhere else is there that has both of them.
Yeah.
Plus UF, Ascension, HCA, all of them. They're all wonderful. And so what do? You take your DNA, there's more to that, and you figure out, in my mind, how do you collaborate all these ecosystems to not just be who you are right now, but innovate and become a city that is world-class. And so we're thinking of ways to do that, as you know, through partnerships, collaboration, and I think that we're well on our way. A simple example is, hey, we're a medical tourism destination, but people come here when they're sick, hurt, battling cancer, you name it. Why, since that is here and it's a part of our blood, why can't we turn that into the $50 trillion empire that is on its way, which is health and wellness and longevity?
Yeah.
We have it here. Why don't we become now the destination for that?
That's good.
Right? And so I think that a lot of people, when you sit back and think of what has held us back, it's always like who we want to become. It's like, no, who are we and who we can mature and collaborate with? And that's who our city, in my opinion, that's what we should be focusing
on.
Yeah. You are certainly a pioneer in that. And this is just one microcosm of, you know, an example of that, just leading the way and being innovative and kind of doubling down on who we are as a city and what we have to offer. So thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And look, it's a team effort.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. All right. So walk through Corner Lot. What are the coolest projects that you're working on? What is the bread and butter? Tell us the vision for Corner Lot.
Yeah, look, obviously my passion's the city, but we also have to pay the bills.
You got to make money.
I always joke around even with some of our investors, and I say in new partnerships that we're doing, I say, look, my wife and my work wife, George, we have to pay the bills and make money, you know, so I can't go do 10%, you know, things that Daniel are doing with the chamber, 10% the mayor's doing or whatnot, because all of a sudden, and so the projects that we're working on, you know, obviously we've got a great project downtown that I can't discuss too much yet, but I can tell you it's another global institution that will bring destination type experiences, hopefully along our waterfront, that will really be a catalyst to starting this domino effect and our waterfront will blow up. We want that to happen, and come hell or high water, we're going to make
it happen. Right.
We have multiple projects that are bread and butter, our core competencies, right? It's single family development, really multifamily, we do ground up apartments. Our hospitality side has really taken off with the One Ocean, which just got rebranded to the Dune House out in Atlantic Beach. And that was a great example of, you know, a great location, a great asset, right on what I would consider Main and Main, in an area that already is thriving. I mean,
Atlantic
Beach Town
Center. It really is.
So that's probably our largest scale project that we just started construction 2 weeks ago. Each floor will be shut down so we can keep the hotel open. But we're also bringing world-class cuisine to that place as well. We've got other hotels that we're working on, one in Riverside, one in downtown, and a couple out in the suburbs. The market in itself over the last 18 months, just in general, right? Tough capitalization market. Jacksonville, even though it's one of the top cities, and especially obviously in the Southeast, still, it's been really hard to get deals done. We've been able to do that through private-public partnerships.
Right.
We've become really good at figuring that out and collaborating with municipalities and government entities. But as far as, you know, other projects that we are really focusing on right now, one is going to be a health and wellness strength, longevity.
Lean into it, man.
And we're going to go hard in that space and collaborate with already institutions and groups here locally that we feel like we can put it as another pillar among who our city is and who we're becoming.
Can you talk to me about your Christmas Eve caroling
Oh yeah.
Project that you do. It just popped in my head. That's a and I was like, community. I mean, it is a pillar in the Jacksonville that's community. Bringing
people to the city.
Yeah. Did he tell you about this?
No, I think you need to tell us because I just popped in my head. I said, people in Jacksonville need to know about this.
Oh my gosh. So when I was in New Jersey, you know, Christmas time, the holidays, people go out caroling. And I was like, man, I really enjoyed it a lot. I don't know why, but maybe it's just the nostalgia of it and next morning, right? So I told my wife, we probably start doing this in like 2019, I think, give or take. I think it was pre-pandemic. But I told her I wanted to go caroling. And she's like, what? My family does not carol. Are you freaking kidding me? And so I'm like, no, seriously, like I want to go Christmas caroling. So we ended up going Christmas caroling. We got a bunch of our friends over and walked around and, you know, had the candles and we made these laminated all the different songs we were going to sing. And, you know, of course, we dressed up with Santa hats and all the fun stuff. And we had like there were some cocktails involved, too. So the kids were in heaven. The cocktail courage for the adults, but we had a wonderful time. Well, it's evolved. So now each year we hire two carriages, horse-drawn carriages with big haystacks in the back, and literally we have about 100 people go around with us.
Amazing.
And the kids, I love giving them the opportunity to feel what real Christmas caroling feels like. And we go around and I call up the neighbors in advance and say, hey, we're coming. And it's turned into this Allen tradition, and the list and the guests that come, it's become more extensive, and it's one of my favorite things that we do. We'll continue to.
It is so much fun. We got an invite a couple years back, and I mean, people in Jacksonville probably don't know that Rebecca Davis cannot sing. Like when I tell you she can't sing,
attest to that.
Yeah. And so I go, hey, we got an invite to go Christmas caroling, but you're going to have to mouth the words. You're not going in on this because we're going to do this.
Well, you got to see
so much fun.
Ring the doorbell. And I mean, it's a blast. So it's a little bit.
And my sons love Andy Allen. He's got a very unique laugh. And they practice trying to laugh like
trying to emulate his laugh.
They really do.
When you told me that, they're pretty spot on.
Yeah,
they're great kids. Really have enjoyed getting to know Christian. Mm. He's going places, man. As is Gabe and your girls. But yeah. It's great to see the passion for Jacksonville. Yeah. I think that, you know, you've done a wonderful job with them, not just as dad, but also sharing what the city has to offer. And there's no doubt in my mind that they'll both be back here making
moves
and doing their part. So yep. It's amazing.
Final question before maybe we have a little challenge.
Sure.
We obviously you're doing everything you can to bring jobs to Jacksonville. I'm doing everything I can. TJ's doing everything he can to make Jacksonville what it should be. We got great jobs now. Not always have we had a great job. I mean, we've had some really rough jobs growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a job that pops into your mind of like, dude, that was the worst job I ever had?
Yeah. You know what, though? I always kind of find a lot of joy in awkwardness. So okay. Like, looking back, I still really enjoyed it. Do you remember right when cell phones were coming out and there was a company called Primeco?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Prometheus was the big pink alien. I was the big pink alien, and I would dress up in this huge alien costume on the side of the road and wave to cars and bring people into the store for them to get set up on wire on you know, cell plans and whatnot. And like, I absolutely loved it because nobody knew who I was. Who I was anyway then, but I could just act a fool, and I absolutely got a kick out of it. But like, you know, the hot dogs and ice cream cones and by the time I was done with each day, the costume was so disgusting. And that's one thing I'm like, I don't like disgusting. And, but it was
great. This in high school
or high school? And they, you know what? They gave me a cell phone. I still have the cell phone number. Kid you not. And,
like the cell phone I dial is the
cell phone I've had since I was 16.
Since you were a pink dinosaur.
Yep.
Awesome.
Alien.
Dinosaur.
Yeah.
It wasn't Barney.
Yeah, that's funny. But it was great. And they paid, back then they paid me like 10 bucks an hour. It was a great gig. But that was one of my, yeah, it was one of my first jobs and I enjoyed it. It was good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
So I haven't had a chance to play out here yet and would love, I remember it as a great track, like a great track that a bogey golfer could enjoy. Mm-hmm. And do you think it's still that way? And, you know, could I get invited out at some point? I mean, what you think?
I got a guy.
You do? You got somebody?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll make that happen. And the golf course, if you look around the beds, you see how the grass is actually pretty long.
Yeah.
All around the,
yeah.
That's called Bahia. I always call it Bahia. Travis fixes
out there by the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Bahia all around all the banks and in certain areas. And really, you know, mostly it's out of play.
Yeah. That's you're,
but you go in the Bahia, you're not, if you find your ball,
you're not hitting that.
You're not hitting.
Yeah.
So, you know, you drop it just like it's the water hazard, but we're getting shirts because a lot of people were kind of griping about the Bahia that says, beware of the Bahia. That'll be kind of our tagline.
All right.
But a lot of it is there for the look and the contour and the mm-hmm. delineation because it looks wonderful and it's out of play. You will play great around here. The greens are very quick and they're firm. A golf course takes about a year, year and a half to really grow in. They're in great shape, don't get me wrong, but they're a little firm. So if you hit like a 150-yard yeah. shot with, you know, 9-iron, 8-iron, whatever, it's going to take a little skip more than you would if you hit it.
Tim Aquana was the same. When they redid Tim Aquana, you hit a great shot, it would bounce because it was just hard. It takes a year
that's right.
for it to soften up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll make that happen sooner than later. Yeah. Love to have
you. Yeah, I'd love to be there.
We'll do it.
So, yep. You know, my thought is there's no time like the present. What if we went out and had a little closest to the pin contest? I mean,
got to the chipping area.
I mean, might as well try it, you yeah. know?
Let's hey, you it. Can get a little a taste of what's to come.
All right. Let's do it.
I'd love to do it.
All right.
Awesome.
I love the fact that Jacksonville got a chance to figure out who you were, you know? And so that was kind of fun, bro.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
And I think to finish off the pod with us taking a couple swings, it may be embarrassing for TJ and me, but, you know, I love this practice area. You said Cam? Designed it or
yeah not? So it was really cool because obviously Live player, PGA Champions Tour player, but him and Jim did a phenomenal job. And Cam kind of said, hey, look, you know, out here I want to have different angles, different shots, down grain, into the grain, bunker shots. And so on the chipping area, which I would put his short game up to anybody yeah, in the world yeah. we've got four different greens. There's ground lighting so that people staying in the cottages or just at night that want to go kick it and have a good time can do so. So and then we got this range. It's 330 yards from the middle of this tee to the back tee, so enough room for if someone like Tim Tebow's good friend or yeah. Tim, he hits yeah. it a mile, or Bryson comes out right. and like, hey, we don't have to worry too much because it's an expansive range. But these guys practice their wedge shots, right? That's their yeah. money making yeah. club. So you'll see the different, you know, the red stripe, the blue stripe, the green, and so those are all 50 75 100. Right. So Jim wanted to make sure that, hey, look, of course, this is for the masses and the members, but we also want to make it so it's a world-class practice facility for anybody that's also on tour or striving to be on tour. I like coaching as much as I like
right.
playing.
Right.
So hit a couple, let me watch you. I mean, I'm not a PGA Tour certified instructor, but I know a little.
You do know a little.
It's pretty good right there.
I mean,
all things considered. By the way, that
little thin.
If you think that's 60 yards, that was more like 90.
Yeah, that was thin.
Yeah, but I still think though that club probably full. You're probably hitting that 80 to 85.
That's a shot.
That's perfect. That's like 70. I bet that's
right on it,
dude. You don't need any help.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
let's I can just tell you how far
that
day.
Was. That was 90 yards, by the way. So part of golf is knowing actually how far you hit your clubs. If you think you hit that 60, 30 yards is a big
problem.
You should at least hit a couple solid and be like, oh, I hit this club 90 yards.
So we all know TJ is a middle linebacker.
I'm a little less flexible than Daniel, but
you're dressed for the part as well, though. You've got
you definitely look like a scratch golfer.
Looking good is what I bring.
You look like a four handicap.
set up those not a forehand, but the short, the shorts are a 8 handicap. I like them, though, I'm not going to lie.
5-inch inseam.
Yeah, it's a 5-inch handicap.
I don't know if I go that far. It's not bad.
Can we play for $20?
Sure.
Closest to the pin?
Yeah. You want to go over here and just hit a pitch shot?
I think we should just, we should go over here. We name the shot. We all get,
y'all call the
we
shot.
All get, we all get two swings. $20 to the person closest to the
I'll pin. Go last.
All right.
All right. 55 into a little breeze now.
Yeah. Keep my arms on my body the whole time.
Yep. 60% for you. Love it, dude.
Go right.
It's a great shot. Two putt, four for three.
All right, TJ, let's see what you got.
That's good, man.
All right.
You want that same club, TJ?
Sure. We'll use the same club.
He's going to get the bug, dude.
I know.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to get the bug. Might get lucky.
I think I pulled it a little bit.
Let's see it right here.
I'm going 55 little into the wind.
There it is.
Sit. Might be too far.
Back it up.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Not
hey,
bad.
Hey, Andy.
Join us, bro.
That was awesome, man. That was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Love you, bro.
TJ.
Appreciate it, brother.
Nice to meet you, man.
Hold on. Just so we're
spending some time out here together.
Yeah, gotta, sure. We'll I can't wait.
Make sure that we're...
that we get on, this on film.
Video. $20.
Appreciate it.
Happy to do business with
it's
you.
It's going straight to the cart, guys.
All right.
They deserve
thanks
it.
A lot, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate right. it.
Another good one. Baby. I'm going to two-putt that.
That's fine. I'm not going to make that every time.
I know, but I'm going to two-putt that, and I'm going to walk away with a bogey and be happy.
Honestly, I'd be
real
happy
because you get a stroke.
Yeah.
That's not a bogey. That's a 4 for 3. That'll be a par net birdie.
Yeah, I mean,
par net birdie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parnet birdie. That should be the
so
name.
So can I have my $20 back?
Thanks for tuning in to Speakeasy Jacks. If you enjoyed the conversation, follow us on our social media platforms, share it with a friend, and make sure you like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.